blessed are you when you are persecuted for your faith. Many of us truly don't understand the depth of what this verse means because we have never experienced genuine persecution. Pastor Tim tells us why and how in today's message.
Well, in the course of my serving the Lord now for many, many years, I have to try to remember a time I was really persecuted for my faith. I really, really couldn't think of really one instance, really, except maybe one, you know, there were some glances towards my way, maybe when I was, out somewhere and talking about Jesus with someone or something. But I remember one time I was here from a school and I went to the high school here and said I'd like to come in and spend time with the youth group that was at the church at the time, and the secretary said that would be great. We never have experienced this before, which I thought was kind of shocking. No one had gone into the high school, was doing lunch and stuff. She said, we would love to have you. So that next week I went, and I was sitting there with some of the students, and this lady walked up, and I said, who's this? She said, she's the principal. I said, well, great. You know, I was anxious to meet her and stuff. And she looked at me and says, who are you? You know, that's one of the days when our speech impediment was kind of shaky, you know. I said, Lord, just please, don't let me stutter. Please. You know? And I told her who I was. She says, well, who gave you permission to be here? I said, your secretary? No, she didn't. You got to go. I was like, my goodness. I got up and I tripped her as she left. Yeah. But that was really the only really thing in my heart and mind that I could really give thought to that came even close to feeling a little bit of a persecution for my faith. You know, let's just understand here. For the most part, you know, we really do not get persecuted for our faith, do we? We have it very good. We're free to worship. We can preach. We can sing. We can pray. We can minister without any restraints most of the time. But in the first century of the church, it was a little bit different than that. If someone had sneezed in a wrong way, they were brought forth and they were tried almost. That's how bad it was in the first century. You know, it was lead to death so many times if you were a Christian in the first century. I want you to listen to this, how one author explained this. He says, still further, the penalties which a Christian had to suffer were terrible beyond description. All the world knows of the Christians who were flung to the lions or burned at the stake, but these were kindly at a death. Nero, he wrapped the Christians in what you call a paper or maybe something with they didn't have gasoline, but something like that that would make them light. And then he would set them alight and use them as living torches to light his gardens. This is first century Christians now. Listen, that they're doing this to. He would sew them in skins of wild animals. Listen to this. Sew into their skin the wild animals and set his hunting dogs upon them to tear them up, tear them to death. They were tortured on the rack. They were scraped with pinchers. They were molten lead was poured hissing upon them. Red hot brass plates were affixed to the tenderest parts of their bodies. They had their eyes were torn out. Parts of their bodies were cut off and was cooked before their eyes. Their hands and their feet were burned while cold water was poured over them just to lengthen the hurt and the pain. These things are not pleasant to think about, are they? But they happen. And they happen because they took a stand for Jesus Christ. It happened because they took a stand for under Jesus Christ. We don't understand that type of persecution, do we? But even though this intense persecution of the first church, the church flourished. The church went. The church moved. The church was making a difference. Among all of this persecution, the church moved on. You see, no matter what the evil forces try to do, the church will move on. I believe that today. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to liven up a little bit. I believe that the church will continue to walk no matter what comes our way. I believe you have people that are really just in, really, I hate to use the word sold out, but the people that are really manifesting themselves in the Lord and Him in us, that your church will survive, because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe that today.
Amen.
So how does this relate to us? And this is out of a beatitude we're about to read about persecution. I'm going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. I want you to listen. I want you to stand with me a little bit. A little bit of lengthy instead of just one little verse. We stand with me. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's God's word. Say amen to God's word.
Amen.
Be seated. Jesus knew what his disciples were going to have to endure. At this moment of this, when he sat them down on that mountainside, began to teach them, Jesus already knew what they were, what they would have to deal with to follow him and to make a stand for him. For the righteous' sake. Once again, Jesus here uses righteousness again in one of his beatitudes. In other words, this right living, this is who we are in Him. This righteousness that's only comes from Him and through Him. It's about how we look like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We're loving like Jesus. We're self people like Jesus. We rebuke like Jesus. Miss this, when the people call your name, do people, or when they call my name, do they think, man, that's a righteous man? That's a righteous woman. Do the people give thought to that all at all? If we would ask that question, we will be persecuted for our righteousness in the Lord. And it says here in the scripture, this is how that they will revile you. They will have an abusive manner towards you. That they will say things with you, will utter all kinds of evil against you in a false way on my account. Jesus says, yeah. On my account, and we won't get to that a little bit later. But here today, what do we think of persecution really looks like within the church in 2019? You know, it's basically we think we're persecuted if we stand against something. Is that persecution comes if we make a stand against something, against some type of a social thing, or we make a stand against something, that then when people come against us, well, we're being persecuted. There's a little bit of truth in that, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm fine with us making a stand. I'm also fine if we often say, I think we should elect a Christian people. I'm fine with that. I think we should. I see the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll put godly people all across the United States, from the highest levels to the levels on our local level. I pray for that. But I very seldom see anyone that are righteous enough for me to vote for at times. But I say, well, Tim, that is judging. You can call it whatever you want.
Amen.
But I very seldom see that. And I'm thankful, once again, because my faith is not in these elected officials. My faith is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I tell you, it does help when there's a godly man or a godly woman sitting in high places. You know, we often, once again, which you've heard me say, that we will make a stand against these social issues like abortion and things, and we carry our signs and we pick it. This is not righteousness. This is just like, take a look at me, I'm standing against something. It's not righteousness. It's just like, I'm going to stand against something because I'm supposed to stand against it, and we should stand against it. But that's not really righteousness, and when we see other people get a call for it, and the police show up and take them to jail, well, that's a persecution. I'm not so sure it is. It's like, take a look at me. I have my Christian sign. I think a much better way, you heard me say, is making a difference by volunteering at a crisis, a crisis center. Making a difference in the lives of people. And the crisis crisis centers, if you've been a part of it, they are beginning to be persecuted. People are coming against them. Or we might say things like, I can't wear something to work. I want a word that has a Jesus on the front of it. Means I, you know, they won't allow me to do that, so I'm being persecuted for my faith because I cannot wear a Jesus saves or something about the Jesus on my shirt to work. Is that I'm not allowed to. I can understand this. In the other public school system, or in a school system that says that everyone is equal and everybody should come, our children should be able to wear, if they want to wear a shirt that says Jesus.
Amen.
I believe that's a little bit of true persecution there.
Yeah.
When you got a 14-year-old says, I want to wear something that says that Jesus loves you. And we have the school system says you can't wear that. And I'm all for that, but I believe when in our workplaces and stuff is when our boss walks in with a policy that says that there will be no religious shirts allowed. The best way for you to be the best Christian is go, yes, sir. And set a fight against that. If you don't like that job, you don't want that, then go find you another job that will allow you to. But I think it's a better witness than to stand firm. There was a few years ago, you heard me say it, over at a depot up in Georgia. There was a guy wearing all these type of buttons. You heard me tell the story a few years ago. And he fought against it, you know, and said, I want to wear my buttons. And everybody made a big deal about how he was being persecuted. But then others, I heard non-Christians say, but wouldn't it have been better if he had just obeyed the authority that was over him? Doesn't the Bible speak of that also? See the point I'm making?
Yeah.
Is that we set ourselves up to be persecuted when in reality we're not really being persecuted.
Right.
I can't pray aloud at a function, at a football game or something. They won't allow me to get up and really hammer and pray. Like sometimes I want to get up at a football game and just pray, buddy. They won't allow me to do that. And since they won't allow me to do that, then I'm being a persecutor. No, you're not. There's policy against it. And do you really think that it does the kingdom any good for you to fight against that and run out on the field and pray aloud? I think in God's word we find that wouldn't it be great to just go behind the bleachers in an unnecessary way and kneel down and humble before the Lord and begin to pray? Huh? Here's a reality that I know that's been in my own life. When we make such a stance this way, I have this feeling we have not even backed it up in our prayer closets. Come on. I guarantee when we make these big stands like this against this and against this and against this, I have a funny feeling. I guarantee you that 99% has not even backed it up for even 5 minutes in a prayer closet. Because we think we have to do something out here. But you need to tell you a true persecution. There are women that even come to this church that her spouse stays home. Probably some men that come to this church that their spouse stays home. And the hurt and the pain that they feel that they want their spouse sitting beside them worshiping the Lord. That they know that at times it's going to cause them trouble. It's going to cause them pain because they decide to come and meet with us. Folks, that's Christian persecution there. In one of the worst ways. Because they can't get away from it. But when they go home, it's there again. And I want to say to you, if you are a husband or wife, and you come here and you know when you get home, I want to say I love you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your faith.
Amen.
I'm thankful for you. encourage my heart. You encourage my heart to the utmost. It says here, but why were the disciples of Jesus persecuted? Well, because Jesus shook up the religious establishment pretty much. You know, if you look throughout the New Testament, Jesus was persecuted by his own. He was persecuted because he shook up things. You know, the local governments didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Pilate didn't want to have anything to do with him because he knew, I don't need to go down this road. But it was the religious establishment that he began to shake up. And folks, I tell you now, in my life and in Freedom Church, we need to be shook up. We need to be shook up a little bit. That's the reason they wanted to persecute Jesus, because the message that he had of hope, the message that he had that he was the only way. The religious leaders were stirring up the Roman Empire. Because they say, he says he's king. And they say, hold on here. And all of a sudden, this persecution began to happen. And so oftentimes, we think that we really want a bunch of Christian people in our governments. And I hope we do. But we better be careful what we wish for. We better be careful what we pray for there. Because in a moment that we think that we've got it where we want it, it's amazing the laws, how they can change. Persecution. Many of us have never even been persecuted for anything. I know I haven't. Disciples. Let's think about it for a moment. I think about Paul and Silas. One of my favorite stories in Acts. Paul and Silas were doing things of the officials. They were minding their own business, preaching the gospel, and the officials came in, threw them in jail for doing what God had called them to do. And they're sitting in jail. It's a great story. And they were persecuted for what they were saying. They were persecuted for the life that they were living. But as they sat in that jail overnight, and here's the thing, many of us, if we were persecuted, we may be running high. Maybe, I don't know. But as they sat in that jail, what began to happen? They began having an old-fashioned, around the piano, gospel singing. You remember those? Are y'all alive today?
Yes, sir.
You know what a gospel sing is? I didn't say you know what one is. They begin to sing and praise God in the midst of their worst persecution. They sat there with chains on, begin to sing praises unto the Lord. Not because they held a picket sign. Not because they couldn't pray at an opening of a football game. But because they were living a life for Jesus in the gospel. And preaching the gospel. There was something different about them. And they were rubbed the religious leaders the wrong way. They were rubbed the Roman government the wrong way because they would stir up things. And then they said, who is these people that have turned the world upside down? Have we turned the world upside down in Middlesville, Georgia?
No.
I don't know. Have we really in our hearts really come to the place that we have, that can be said about us and Freedom Church, that we've turned Middlesville upside down? I often say things like, we have a great reputation in our community, and we do. And I'm thankful for that reputation. I run into people all the time, they'll say things, and this is really not on my court, it's on us working together as a church. That y'all do a lot for the community, thank you. I hear that a lot. Everywhere I go, Freedom Church. That's a church that does a lot for the community. I hear that all the time. Every now and then, someone says, I know that church. God's doing something. He's changing lives. But I want us to be a church that continues in that. That we continue down the line. You know, here's the thing. I hope it never gets to the place that I have to fear for my life. Or whatever I preach here. That they could come through the doors and put handcuffs on me. Some social issues have come forth that they have made legal in the gay lifestyle. If some comes and says, "Will you do the ceremony?" And I'm going to have to love them as much as I can and say, "I'm not allowed to because of God's word."
Amen.
But as we say amen to these things, we need to say amen to other things in our own life.
Right.
One day that could come, and even my mama said, "What you going to do, son?" I said, "Well, I guess you just got to visit me in jail." Because I want to love everyone that walks through these doors. I accept everyone that walks through these doors. But I'm just going to believe I'm going to let God do what God is required to do. It says here that Peter was crucified upside down. John the Baptist was beheaded. And tradition says that Paul was beheaded also. You might be thinking to yourself, "Lord, help us. Lord, help us." This last year, listen to this, over 245 million Christians are living in places where they experience high levels of persecution. 4,300 Christians are killed for their faith this past year. 1,847 other churches and other Christian buildings have been attacked. 3,100 believers detained without trial. They were arrested and sentenced or imprisoned. Think about that for a moment. In other parts of the world. And folks, I'll be honest with you, and I complain about things that doesn't make a difference tomorrow. You know? I complain that I got to get the kids here. I got to get the kids here. I got to get the kids up here. I got to do this. And in the midst of all this, folks are dying for their faith.
That's right.
I know at the time in China, and China's on my heart still. The government has turned in a way that it's making it difficult for even the churches that have listed with the government be able to do what they want to do. And I think about those that I'd call their names that I sat with and I ate with. And I think about where they are, and that some of them, they have fear coming up in them, I hear. But praise God, they're standing strong. They're standing strong. And what are we supposed to do with those things? And I believe more and more that God has impressed on me. We got to pray. We got to pray for our brothers and sisters overseas and around us that are being persecuted. We got to get the horns of the altar. I hope a persecution doesn't come here. But there's a part of me at times that says, through history, when a church is persecuted, guess what? It flourishes. Through the years, through the history books, you can read it when the church is being pushed a little bit, persecuted, it begins to flourish. Are you saying, "Tim, you hope that they start dragging you out?" No. That would hurt. No, I'm not saying those things. I'm thankful we live in a nation, and I'm thankful the ones that died, that I can stand here and I can preach the gospel. But folks, my understanding of this is that we don't wish these things upon us. But what I do wish, that we will open our eyes and our heart and say, "Lord, we're not being persecuted. But Lord, we want the church to flourish. We want it to flourish." They were persecuted, and people are being persecuted today for a deep, mature faith. I'm telling you now, you don't stand and say, "I love Jesus," and look at someone and says, "If you don't repent, I'm going to kill you." That's not shallow faith here, folks. I think about the Columbine, one of the school shootings. The young lady, I think her name was Rachel Scott. Her story. In the library. That's those two young men that my heart breaks for. New Rachel. probably called her by name. Said, Rachel, denounce Jesus. Do you think Rachel stood with her? I love Jesus. I think Rachel stood before them with all the humbleness in her heart and the love of Jesus to him. Says, I can do that.
Amen.
He shot and killed her. As a father,
yep.
I look at my children. Listen to me. Have I instilled in them what Rachel had? It's a tough question for me. Have I instilled in them what was instilled in her? I don't know. Here's the thing. There's three words here that they were persecuted. Jesus said, on my account. This is my prayer, this is my hope, Lord. I do not want to suffer persecution on Tim Thompson's account, but on your account. I don't want to be something fake. I don't want to be something that's not going to last next week. I want it something, if I'm persecuted for my faith, I want it to be on your account, Lord, not mine. Because I want people to see me as a follower of Jesus Christ. And when, if I have to speak truth, then I speak truth. The Lord, when I speak truth, as Jesus spoke truth, how did he speak truth? He said what he wanted to say. Then what was the thing he always did every single time? He had a towel in his hand. And he loved. The only time that Jesus kind of sort of didn't, the only time that Jesus had a whip in his hand was when? When he cleaned the temple out. All these religious folks. And what I'm saying to us today is, I don't want it to be on my account. I want it to be on the account of Jesus Christ. Mothers and fathers, I hope today that you will hear me today, that you will, for you and your house, you will serve the Lord and your children will serve the Lord. That we will get a hold of what God wants us to get a hold of. That we will allow things in our homes that will lead us and lead our children where they shouldn't go. But through all of this, college students and high school students, make a stand.
Yeah.
Make a stand. Not with a plaque or something. Make a stand by loving people, speaking truth in love. Come alongside people. For so long, the church spoke a lot of real truth, but we didn't come alongside people. Jesus did. And if persecution comes upon you, you can kneel down before him before you go to bed at night and say, thank you, Lord, on your account today, I was kicked out of the cafeteria. You know? On your account today, Lord. On your account today, somebody walked up to me and said some very ugly things to me. But on your account today, Lord, I loved the way you wanted me to love. I did what you called me to do. On your account. But the beautiful part of all this is, in the end he says, it's beautiful. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who would have come before you, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is not necessarily talking about this heaven we go. It's talking about the presence of God. In the midst of your persecution, in the midst, when you go home and you know you're going to be persecuted, God goes with you. He goes with you. In the midst of that college student, high school student, in that moment that you take that step towards someone that people have said unclean, that you're going to invite the religious folks, you're going to go, why is she sitting over there with that one? That's persecution, I think. That's gossip. Guess what? God will go with you. God will go with you. God will go with you. Understand this today. If Jesus says, rejoice and be glad in persecution, don't whine when you have to go to work to a place that is full of the devil. Go rejoicing. Go rejoicing. I talked to somebody one time, they came to me and says, Tim, I am struggling with all the evilness around me. I said, that's what I want you to do. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, thank you that you're sending me into a den of thieves. Thank you, Lord, that you're sending me to a place that I can be the light that shines and floods out darkness. Yeah, it's going to hurt. I just read to you what others are dealing with. I believe we can, as a church of Jesus Christ, that we can deal with a little bit of someone saying some dirty words around us at work. Understand? I don't like it. I don't want to hear it. But praise God you're there. Don't pray to be moved out of it. Pray to be moved into it. And the Lord says, on my account, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. I want you to sing. I want you to bow your heads.
So when we face genuine testing, when we face persecution, what should our attitude be? Well, first of all, certainly none of us welcome suffering, but our attitude should be, thanks be to God, that I may suffer for Him as He suffered for me. In the coming weeks, we pray and we certainly seek the Lord that He will revive and renew you with a desire to serve God no matter the cost. Be blessed. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us.